Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Something else I just love as well is the fact of the current topic we're looking at the moment. It's all about our journey. Who's happy we're not stationary? We're not static. Just this is props for later, folks. Props for later. You can have a look. Here we go. Thank you, Will. There we go. And this is OHS. I'm going to step over this, not trip over it. Please warn me if I do this, and yeah, just make a note. So we're on a journey. Every single one of us is on a journey. And isn't it a joyful thing to know that God has got a journey for us, and he doesn't want us to do it alone. He puts us in life with others, and his heart is that they will understand what that journey is, and they will start to think, look at our life and go, I want what he's having. I want what she's having. They will actually want to come on that journey with us. Amen. I've got a wonderful topic this morning. It's called salt and light. Salt and light. Let's have a look at Matthew 5:13-16, where I just love it. When instead of having to come up with an illustration, Jesus does it for you. Isn't that the best thing? You don't have to find one. He just says, here you are, unpack it. Thank you, Lord. Let's go for it. I'm just going to read it out from the Amplified Version. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste or purpose, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything to be thrown out and walked on by people. Ouch. When the walkways are wet and slippery. You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Don't you love that scripture? Salt and light. That's what he's saying we are. We are salt and light. And these two illustrations, he wants us to take with us and say that these are the ways he wants us to be in our world. Let's just pray this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are a mighty God. You are the mighty King. And that, God, we just pray as we unpack this morning, you'll touch our hearts, Lord. Give us insight. Give us inspiration. Give us a sense of your purpose for us and a sense of our destiny. And let us open our hearts to those who you want to bring with us on that journey. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Right, starting with salt. Who has ever thought of themselves as salty? Some of the older ones of us might have a wrong interpretation of that. He's calling us to be salt in our world, but he's not actually talking about salt. I just want you to get rid of a couple of conceptions here. We think of salt in the diet as a bad thing often. Anybody ever had high blood pressure? All right. Most people tell, cut back in your salt, cut back in your salt. What he's talking about here is specifically salt as flavor. All right. So we're going to look at it purely from that context. So get rid of any negative conceptions. We're looking at us as salt, as flavor. Flavor in other people's worlds. All right. What are we doing just by virtue of being in Christ means that we have got flavor. Do you know that? As you go out into this world, this week, to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, we are salty. If we're in Christ, we've got flavor, and we take that out with us. So that got me thinking. What is it about salt that is flavorsome? What is it? It's very simple. Sodium and chloride. Just two simple little atoms joined together. And yet he's saying that we are that. That is us. We are salty. We take flavor of Christ out with us where we go. So I went to good old trusty Google to see why salt enhances flavor. Because it does. Who knows, there are five main tastes we have. So there's salt, sweet, sour, bitter, and the last one called umami. Who's heard of umami before? All right, so that's the new one. because nothing's ever stationary. We're always learning and growing and changing. All right, so umami's the last one now, which is, it's like a meaty one. It's like a sort of they say MSG's got it, miso soup. Anybody like miso soup? It's that sort of taste. It's that meaty taste. That's called umami. So five different tastes. Now, salt obviously has got its own flavor. But do you know what is amazing about salt? It's when you add it to a dish, it actually influences all the other tastes. When you add, if you are salt and you're in someone's life, you influence and change what is happening in their world. We actually alter it. Do you know how we do it? Here's the best one. I'll give you one other one first, then I'll give you the best one. Hold that thought. Ready? Do you know one thing that salt does? Is when you put it into food, it actually breaks open the aromas and actually sends that beautiful smell up, which we wouldn't smell otherwise if there wasn't salt there sometimes. If we're in people's worlds, we can actually open them up and they can actually almost feel better about themselves and have an aroma about themselves they didn't have before. There's something beautiful about that. Here's my best one. Do you know what salt does? If you add salt to a dish, it suppresses bitterness. Salt, if we are in someone's world, salt suppresses bitterness, but it heightens all the other flavors. So it heightens sweet, it heightens sour. Who knows our life? And I love what Chris said this morning. Life isn't always rosy. It's not always fantastic. But if we can be in someone's world and they can say, look, this is happening in my world. They can actually start to talk about it, actually go into the depths of it. I mean, isn't that something as well? Sweet and sour. And umami, the meatiness. Who knows that there's salt in there? It actually brings up this meat. We can get into deep discussions with people. They can go to places maybe they hadn't gone to before. They can actually start thinking about things in a way they'd never gone to because there's a meatiness there. But how often does bitterness, if you've got bitterness in someone's world, it covers everything, and yet salt will actually decrease that and open up all these other areas in their world. That is us being salty in someone's life. If we've got Christ, we don't have to work at it. Salt's not working really hard. It's just got to be there. It's just got to actually be in someone's world to decrease bitterness and bring up all those other things. It's not all sweetness, you know. Man doesn't live by donut alone. We've got all the other bits too, okay? And that's who we are when we're in someone's world. It means that people are, they also reckon the flavors, those other flavors are less one-dimensional, they're more complex. There's more that people are actually can bring up all the more complexity in their world when there's a bit of salt added. We sort of give people permission to be real, not just one-dimensional, not just everything is fine, but honest and complex, and with everything else that's happening in their world, that's the permission they get if we are salt in their life. I was just looking at the right amount of salt. Who knows? You can add too much. It's not about us. If I'm salt in their world, it's not actually about me. And if I make it about me, then I'm actually adding too much salt. But if I'm the right amount and I'm in their world, then they're going to discover things about themselves as well that they probably didn't even know about. If something is well seasoned, we shouldn't actually taste the salt, but it should bring out the beauty and flavor in what it's added to. It should be bringing out the beauty and flavor in what it's added to. This verse from Colossians says this: let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each one who questions you. Because if we're salt in someone's life, they're going to start to feel, I want to find out more about you, more about who you are, because I'm feeling better about myself. I got this, when I was just praying about this, I had a sense from God. He said, around us, people should feel like they are the best version of themselves. When people are around us, they should feel like the very best version of themselves. So our spouses, my husband, well, I haven't got one of them. Your husband, or wife. I've got a husband, not a wife. Cancel that one. Your children, maybe parents, people you work with, whoever. Any of those people should feel like the best version of themselves around us. And because of that, they're going to want to know more about what's happening in our world. They're going to be more open to us. Have you heard, you may have heard a song that's been out recently. It's by a gentleman, well, bloke called Lauf. I'll tell you about it. It's called, it says something along the lines of, I like me better when I'm with you. I like me better. I can't sing. Chris? I like me better when I'm with you. I love that concept. I like me better when I'm with you. All right? I like me better when I'm with you. And I think that's what God's saying. When we're salt, people are going to like themselves better. So just think about your neighbors. Think about your work people. Is that what happens? Do they feel better about themselves when they're with you? Because if we're salt, that's going to be happening. And that's going to draw people to God. That's going to draw people to who he is. Because that's what people want. We all want. Who doesn't want to feel better about themselves? Who doesn't want to be around someone who makes them feel better about themselves? Amen? So, that's salt. But let's have a look as well. Because we've got something else happening too. We've got light. I was thinking, you know, in the scriptures, you notice it goes straight from salt to light. You know, I thought, Lord, you can do that because you're a great talker, but I've got to somehow have some link, you know, between salt and light. So I was going, oh, salt, light, salt, lamp, salt, lamps, salt, lamp. I was impressed. I thought, I've got a salt lamp. Who has ever seen a salt lamp before? All right, a few people here. I hadn't. And I was looking and I thought, what is a salt lamp? If you go into virtually any sort of a health food shop now, they have got salt lamps. These are supposed to do amazing things, and we're not going to even go near what they're meant to do. All right, we're not even going to touch it. Straight through to the keeper. This is purely for illustrative purposes, all right? Isn't it an interesting-looking little thing? There was lots of different salt lamps in the shop I went to, just at the hypermarket here. And I thought, I just want to have something that links salt and lamp, so we got this. Well, there were some that were this big, some that were that big. I bought this one because they weigh a ton, and I couldn't have carried it otherwise. Some have been nicely groomed, and they look beautiful. But most of them were just a lump of salt, Himalayan, because everyone knows salt's from the Himalayas. I still haven't got my head around why salt's from the Himalayas. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. Pink salt from the Himalayas, and it's supposed to do wonders for us. Now, this little lamp, I could have chosen, as I say, any one, but I chose this one. What's the first thing you notice about it? Anything in particular? Now, we're going to have it up on the screen in a minute, so because I don't know if you can see it from where we are. But can you see it any better up there? This lamp, I will let you know, is not perfect. It is actually got a slight lean, and it's got some funny little black marks in it. The thing about it is, too, if I left this lamp just sitting there like that, it would be nothing more than a statue. It would just simply be taking up space. When I went to buy this salt lamp, I went to buy something that I could actually turn on, that it had a purpose, that I could actually make it change. That is what it's for. It's not there just to be a statue, it's to be actually turned on. To make it turn on, I had to actually do a little bit of engineering. It comes empty, and inside it comes also with a bulb and a little bit of, you know, whatever. What would it be called? That thing at the bottom. Right. Connection bit thing. I'll remember that for next time I'm talking about this. Connection bit. You have to very carefully undo the bulb, put it in without breaking it, and after about the 10th time I finally got the bulb in. And then you have to actually clip it inside, and bingo, you can turn the light on. Who knows that that is like us? He calls us a lamp. And he sends us out, and he wants us to be a lamp. He wants us to shine with his light, with his love, and with his power. That is what we're for. We're not actually much use to him or to anybody like that. Because really, it's just a lump of salt. But as soon as we turn it on, it's got a function, it's got a purpose. And do you know what the very first thing I noticed was? And I'm going to come back to this in a minute. As soon as I turned it on, particularly in the area I had it, I thought, oh, I really like that. That looks really good. And Chris alluded to it a bit this morning, and I think it was spoken about last week. You know, one of the first things we want is to give God pleasure. Who knows? That's what we're actually here for, is to give him pleasure. When I got my lamp and I turned it on, the first thing I felt was, yeah, that looks good. That's what I want. That is what God wants with us. He doesn't want us. That's why he says in that scripture, I don't want you to have your light under a bushel. I don't want you to be hidden away somewhere. Not only has he got a job for us to do, and I'll come to that, but he wants us to give him pleasure. He actually gets joy out of looking at us and going, that's my lamp. Look at it. Look, shining with his light, with his love, and with his power. That is what he wants for us. Let's have a look. Oh, just one point before I carry on. Can I say that each and every one of those lamps was different? Not one was the same. I think sometimes as Christians, we think what's going to happen is that when we become Christians, we're all going to end up pretty much the same. Do you know what I mean? We're all going to be very similar. We have to think the same way. We've got to do the same things. We've all got to, you know, become part of a mold. I reckon the opposite happens. When we become a Christian and God turns the light on, suddenly this is a completely unique, crafted thing that is different to everything else that was out there. When the light comes on in our life and we show we've got the presence of God in us and we're showing love, we're showing his power, and we're showing his light, it also reflects us and all our uniqueness. We are unique. He's created us like that. That is how he wants us to be. That is what he's made us to be. The next thing, of course, is that he's made us and wants us to have a purpose. So each one of us is created in a way that is quite different to what anybody else is created to be. So, for example, this lamp, I found when I got it, really worked well in certain areas. It really worked extremely well in one particular corner, but it didn't work very well in the large center of the room. It's designed for a certain space and a certain space and a certain place. We, each one of us, Pastor Andrew's been talking about it lately. God has certain roles he wants filled, and it's not like he's going, I've got half a dozen people here, I don't know what to do with them, I'll put them here and there. It's the other way around. He's actually got spaces and things he wants us people to be in, and he says, I've created you specifically for that role. I've created you for that role. You for this role. So each one of us, we have got a purpose. We have got something that we have been created for. So, you know, today we're doing next steps. One of the next steps, one, is discover your purpose. Find out what sort of a lamp you are and what you've actually been created for. You know, we've all got something that he has put in us that he wants us to be and to make a difference. It makes a big difference when we are lit or when we're not lit. And if we think we haven't got a purpose, we might easily just turn off. That's not what he's called us to. He's called us to turn on and to shine, but we've got to be out there and find out what's he wanting us to shine? Where's he wanting us to shine? So, for example, me, I'm, say, Pastor Andrew. He's got a big light, right? His light is to be all over the church. I'd say my light, I'm more of a small focus light, you know, God wants me over here lighting something at this moment, lighting something over there in that moment. Now, if I tried to do what Pastor Andrew's done, I'd just be lost. could be no value in what I'm doing. But if I'm doing what God has called me to do, I'm going to light that area. I'm going to be exactly right for that particular part. And there's going to be a sense of, yeah, every part of this house has got all the lights on where it should be. We're all going to be lit up. I was just thinking, as I say, when we shine, he takes real pleasure in it. Sometimes, and something else I think I need to also point out is that when we're lit up, he takes pleasure in us, but we're different to a lamp. Isn't that encouraging? Because one thing he does do is with a lamp, it's stationary, but with us, he is constantly changing us. If you look at this lamp, you'll see an awful lot of flaws in it, right? Inconsistencies, things that aren't quite right. But who knows that with Christ in us, he is also working on those flaws, on those inconsistencies. He's actually changing us at the same time as using us. So the scripture here from Philippians. For it is not your strength, but it is God who's effectively at work in you to will and to work, that is to strengthen, energize, and create in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. All right, that says it all. We're here. He's going to work in us, change us to fulfill our purpose for his pleasure. That's it in a nutshell of what he's got for us and what he wants for us. He wants us to be doing our thing where we're meant to be doing it. And he gets pleasure as we are lit and as we're shining for him. One other thought I had about the light. Oh, a couple of years ago now, our son and daughter and, no, swap that round, daughter and son-in-law in Melbourne decided to buy a house. And they sent the picture up of the house. Who knows how clever real estate agents are? What's their purpose? Sell the house. Make it attractive. Make people want to come in. Oh, yeah. They're not silly. So Chloe and Fraser sent the picture up of the house. Now, let me just tell you, when I saw it, I think that's going to come up shortly as well. Just have a look at this picture and tell me what you think and tell me what you see. Pretty house? Can you see the house? What have they done? Turned all the lights on. Turned all the lights on. It's still daytime. Duh, why do you have the lights on? Because they know that when the lights are on, it's attractive. It brings people in. The lights are on and the front door is open. Who knows? That is what draws people. That is what draws people. If each one of us is shining in one of those windows in our proper place, do you know what's going to happen? As a group, not only here in church physical, but church wherever we are in our world, it draws people. It draws people. It's like everyone says, I want to be in that place. I saw that and I thought, oh, I really like that. You know, it looks cute, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. It looks really sweet. It obviously didn't look quite so good with the lights off. They turned all the lights on. That is what they've done. Do you remember the days of Pixel TVs? You know, with the Pixels? We've probably still got some out there. You know, if one's not on, where's your eye drawn? Straight to the one that's not working. It's like that. I think if one light was out on that picture, if one was out, where would your eye go? Straight to the window where the light was off. God wants us, each and every one of us, to know what our purpose is and to find and to shine with that light, the love and power of Christ, and to be shining. In church, out of church, in our community, wherever we are, we're going to have that same drawing power, that same ability to attract people, to get people to want to come because of the light of the love and power of God in us. That is his heart for us. What stops us shining? Well, sometimes I think it's because of our imperfections. Sometimes we think, but if I'm out there and I'm telling people that I'm a Christian and they know what I'm like, well, That's not. I don't want to tell people I'm a Christian. It's easy if I just go under the radar and just don't mention it. And so I'll just turn my light off, and I'll just go quietly away, and nobody need know who I am. But you know, when I bought this lamp, I bought it knowing all its flaws. I bought it knowing all its inconsistencies. I bought it knowing all that. My goal was I wanted it to shine. Despite all those things that are not right, that are not good in it, I wanted it to shine because that was my that was the purpose I bought it for. And I believe that's what God's saying. Warts and all, no matter how long we've been a Christian, warts and all, he wants us to be out there shining for him. And he's going to work on us. He's going to change us as he needs to. But ultimately, that is his goal, is to actually us to shine for him, to be salt for him, and to shine for him. We can only achieve this when we are actually shining as he wants us to.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.